We've got to pray, and live to call. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise him and lift his holy name. One more time. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise him. We've got to praise him. And lift his holy name.
Big hand clap tonight. Glory. I'll tell you the truth. You folks hadn't been here sitting, I think I'd have had a runaway tonight. Amen. I felt the glory of the Lord here, and I realized we must praise him. We've got to praise him. We must praise the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. Where praises are, God is. Where praises are not, don't expect God. Don't expect people to receive the Holy Ghost unless there's praises going on. Don't expect anyone to receive healing unless praises is going on. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's stand and praise God. Will you praise him? Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Glorify God!
We got to praise him. We got to praise him. And lift his holy name. We got to praise him. We got to praise him. We got to praise him. And lift his holy name. Oh, make it joyful now.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
come to praise Him.
Yeah, I said
we've come to praise Him and lift His holy name.
Bit more of it, and I dare any of you to just step out in the aisle and raise your hands and walk down the aisle. No telling what a blessing you're going to get. No telling what's going to happen. Sing it.
We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him.
Oh,
we come to praise Him and lift His holy name.
Oh,
we come to praise Him.
Yes, we got to praise Him.
Oh, we got to praise Him and lift His holy name.
Are you ready for the word? You may be seated. Brother Russell, come and bring to us Brother Russell Handy, pastor of a good church in Rector, Arkansas. And we expected some of his young people to come with him tonight, but he couldn't get a rider to take them home, so a driver, that is. But we're glad to have Brother Russell and Sister Joy and the children. And I want to tell all of our choir members and choir members to be, we will be having others come in, maybe once a quarter or so, to teach new songs and inject a little enthusiasm. Our church needs this enthusiasm. Come right on, I'm sorry. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and praise the Lord, everybody. If there's one place where we should be able to praise the Lord, it's in the house of the Lord. Scripture says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And I really like what I feel here tonight. I feel like I'm in the presence of an almighty God. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I'm glad I can call Him by name.
Amen.
And He hears me. He answers. His name is Jesus. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name above every name, that every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the heaven. Every tongue shall confess. I think that's what we've done tonight. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm glad to know Him as Lord. A lot of people just know Him as a byword or a cuss word or some being somewhere that will help maybe in the time of trouble. But I know Him as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here tonight. I like coming home. I just consider this home. And all of you precious people and all the rest of you people too. It's good. It's good to see you. Amen. And now, I had already planned tonight to, before Brother Rutledge gave me the floor, I was going to go ahead and walk out. Because I heard what happened one night when Brother Price was here, that all of you, or several of you, began to walk out, row at a time. So I was going to get the jump on you tonight. I was going to walk out first and meet you back there. But the Spirit of God got to move us to good up here. I couldn't leave. Amen. I read in Reader's Digest the other day, this little boy went to his mother and he asked her, he said, "Mama, how far have you ever counted?" And his mother said, "Well, son, I don't know. How far have you ever counted?" And the boy said, "Well, I've counted to 5,231. He said, 5,231. Why did you stop there? He said, well, church was over. And so that's why I stopped. So if I hear anyone counting in a minute, I'll know what you're up to. But I have a plan, if you'd like to hear it. I think next time Little Price preaches here, about five or six rows of people should start going, 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll fix that guy. I'll tell you something. He never has got over that night you walked out on him. Man, he called me telling me about that. He was all in the air. And he didn't want me to take sides with him, but I couldn't help it. I was just laughing at him. I mean to tell you that. Praise God. That first choir song, that was so beautiful without the music that I had a hard time concentrating on the beauty of the song because I've been without my wife the last couple of days and I was concentrating on the beauty of that choir director. Man, oh man. I thought, man, she's pretty. Wonder she's married. Anyhow, it was 7 years ago this coming Sunday. 7 years ago, Brother Wilson, that you tied the old cowbell around my ankle. And we got married, Sister Handy and I. Well, we're used to saying Brother and Sister Handy in our church. But I married Joy. And you know, she dated a fellow there for a long time that now he's at headquarters in St. Louis. Boy, she could really be a big wig if she'd have married him. But look what she settled for. She got a little wig. Praise God. But this choir has blessed me tonight, whether it's blessed you or not. Let me tell you a little story behind this. Now, I'm not going to hold you too long. You know, I'm pastoring now. When I was evangelizing, I had a tendency to hold folks long because I wanted them to hear what a great evangelist I was. But after you pastor a while, you find out those folks, they don't care how great you are. When it's time to go, it's time to go home. We usually let out at 9 o'clock at our place. But Sister Ham and I took the church in Rector 3 years ago. And we went there. It's just a small church, you know, running in the high 60s and low 70s in attendance. Of course, numbers are not everything, but it does give you an idea of what you got. And we put our best into that work. And we took what talents we had and we applied them to multiply them. The Lord gave us a talent. We felt like we ought to do something with it. And I had a lot of my preacher friends come to me and say, I can't believe you'd take a church that's in a small town. And this church I took kind of had a reputation of not being a very good church. But I didn't take it with what was there when I went there. I took it with what's going to be there in the future and do a work for God. And so we went there. We had about 6 young people that we could halfway depend on, and some of them wasn't really faithful. 4 or 5 girls and a couple of boys. And that was our youth group. And we began to work, and we got a choir going. They didn't have youth service, and so we, in prayer, sought God, and we felt like God gave us a youth program, and we applied it. We call it Youth Alive. And Sister Handy, finally, enough people started praying through. She got an ensemble, and we began to have trios and quartets and groups of this kind. And God has really blessed our church. Now we have around 4 or 5 for 100 fairly consistently now. And I'm not saying that to brag on Joy and I. I'm saying that to brag on the Lord. Because I went to a place where the odds were against me. But the Lord, even if you've got the Lord on your side, just, you know, one of you can put 100 to flight. 100 of you can put 10,000 to flight. And so I feel like God has given us victory. Amen. It hasn't been without a battle, but you wouldn't know you had victory if it wasn't without a battle. Some people I've talked to said, oh, I'm going through a battle. I don't know if I'll make it or not. Well, if you can make it, you're going to know you really got the victory. Because without a battle, you wouldn't know you had the victory. Amen. I'm going to read to you tonight in the book of Psalm, chapter 3, or the third Psalm, as I like to say. Because this is a song book. And I was thinking, because of the choir seminar and us being here tonight, because of that reason, we would look at the book of Psalms. You know, we have preached several youth camps for the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds, 12, 13-year-olds. We were privileged this year to preach 11 and 12-year-olds in Louisiana camp. And those young people, they get these words in the Bible all mixed up. And one night I was preaching, I said, turn to the book of Job. And they all looked at me. I said, the book of Job. Just turn to the book of Job. And that's what they thought that word said. Instead of Job, they thought it said Job. And I was going to read in Psalms the other day, and something was said about these kids call that Psalms. So if we can turn to the book of Psalms tonight. Had some 70 get the Holy Ghost in Louisiana. Well, they said we did. You know, that's evangelistically speaking. But if two or three got it, that's good. Amen? Amen. And there's room in this service tonight if someone hasn't yet received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can find grace in the eyes of the Lord tonight. Can we give the Lord a hand, praise? Praise. Now, it says in Psalms 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. How many of y'all ever run across that little word, Selah, in the book of Psalms? Well, how would you pronounce that, Brother Walt? Selah. Selah. Excuse me. How would you pronounce that there, Brother David? Selah. Kind of like coleslaw, you know? Brother Sammy, I got to know how you'd say that. Selah. Well, I've read it. I've heard other preachers read it. I've heard saints read it. I've heard many of them stumble over the word. But I never really understood why that word was in the book of Psalms. I don't know. Maybe some of you know the reason. But David said Selah, or Selah, as I say it. And in verse 3 he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy salvation is upon thy people, Selah, or Selah. Now, I've read Psalms ever since I was a boy, because we used to have a chapter reading contest in our church, and you'd have to read a chapter a day to get a star by your name or some point, and if you got enough points, you won a prize. So Psalms 117 was one of my favorite chapters to read, because as some of you are looking, it's two verses long. But anyhow, as I ventured into the book of Psalms, of course, we know that this was a song book for the worshipers in the tabernacle of David. And David would write these psalms, or whoever was the writer of the psalms. These psalms, some 39 of them, were set to music. And of these 39 or so psalms set to music, 28 of them had this Selah in the writing of this music. And this song that David wrote in chapter 3, or the third psalm that I feel like is pronounced correctly, he said, "Many are they that trouble me. There are many that say there is no God that can help me. They rise up to trouble me. They are against me." Selah, or Selah. And then he starts in again, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of mine head." And then he goes on in verse 4 and said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill." Selah. And these Selahs are pauses. They're breaks in the music. When they did nothing but stop the course of the song and the words of the song, and they did nothing but pause to praise the Lord.
Glory. I like that.
And I just like to preach for the next 5 or 10 minutes. Take a praise break.
That's good.
Because our lives are much like the music. I was noticing tonight there were times on the music when it was loud, and there was times when it was soft. There is times in music when it has a lot of force, and then there's times when the words are slower and they're calm. And that's a lot like our lives. There's times when we're on our highs, and there's times when we're on our lows. There's times when we are victorious. There's times when we're defeated.
Yes.
But in our course of living, I believe it would be helpful to learn to take a little praise break when you do nothing but stop and praise the Lord for what He's done for you. Selah, David would say. Stop everything. In fact, one interpretation of the word Selah is where they would blow mightily on the trumpets and they would shout hallelujah unto the Lord. And we in our course of living get so caught up in our daily activities of work and income and school and all of these things, that sometimes we get so rushed and we get so carried away and we get so strung out with our personal lives that we forget that it's good for us sometimes to just drop everything and just praise the Lord. David said, "They come against me. They say there is no help for me in God. They rise up against me to trouble me." Then he took a psalm. He took a break. He praised the Lord. And then the next verse says, "But thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill." Selah. Every time David took a praise break, seemed like he got a little more strength to face tomorrow. Another interpretation of this word means an interlude between stanzas. I looked up our word interlude, and it means an episode or a happening between two major events. Now, I come to you tonight, I cannot say that our pastoral work has been a victorious work since we've been there. We have suffered some major setbacks. Some people that I spent the most time with are the very ones that let me down. Some of the ones that I put the most faith in are the ones that lost their faith in God. And there were times when it seemed like I'd get our church to a certain place and something would happen and set us back two steps further than where we'd come from. And there are times in a church when you're up and when you're down. You go through battles. I know this church has faced some tremendous trials and gone through some tremendous battles. But in the midst of it all, we do not throw up our hands and quit. But we throw up our hands to praise the Lord. I mean, we shout hallelujah. There's been some major events behind us. And if God appears, there's going to be major events ahead of us. But in this little interlude on a Wednesday night in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, you pardon me while I take a praise break. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I got to asking the other night in my church that how many of them And I preached this Sunday night. I felt like God gave it for this service tonight, and I couldn't wait to preach it.
Yeah.
But I asked them, how many get a break at work? You know, somewhere around 10:30 or 11. And some of them raised their hand. How many of you folks get breaks in the morning, coffee breaks? Yeah. How many of you get coffee breaks on your job? You get a coffee break all morning. When I first got in the family, I didn't think there was a man alive that could drink as much coffee as he did and stay alive. But he did. And then around 11:30 or 12, you get a lunch break, I suppose. How many of you get a lunch break? And then in the afternoon, how many of you get another coffee break? Some of y'all get those breaks, you know, you go to work at 8 and you have a coffee break from 8:30 to 10:30 and you're off at 11 for lunch. But anyhow, the reason why they give you those breaks is because of the stress and the fatigue that the employees suffer if they don't get a break. And when we were in Washington, D.C., we were there here a while back preaching. On the noon break, there are people running in their little Adidas tennis shoes and their jogging outfits. They're just jogging everywhere, all over Washington, D.C. And the reason for that, I found out, is because the government-paid jobs require that their employees take an exercise break. Now, you know that's got to be a government-paid job to force their employees to exercise to get their daily requirement. If they're like the rest of us, they'd get enough exercise working. So you'll see them out there running, or there'll be a big group of them, you know, doing the whatever that is. We won't name it.
Go ahead.
Jumping jack, is that what it's called? And do what? Well, you can do it if you want to. Side saddle hop, whatever. Because they've got to have the exercise. And they feel like, they feel like that helps their employees. And even the government pays these companies to give their people an exercise break. They get a little bonus for allowing their employees to exercise. They got to have that exercise break. And they really go at it. They run all around. And because that's what they need. So they say. But I have learned in my living for God that I need every once in a while just a good service to praise the Lord. I have preached the last three or four Sunday night services in our church with a heavy burden and hoping that someone would see their need to consecrate and dedicate to God. But Sunday night I stepped up behind the pulpit and I told the church, I said, I just feel like tonight we ought to praise the Lord. Now, I'm not one of these that tell folks to shout because I think your worship to God ought to be between you and God. But I want to tell you something. If you're not careful, you can get so drugged down with troubles and trials and problems and discouragement, and you can get blue and you can get green and you can get sick and you can get mad and you can get all drugged down. Hey, living for God is just as exciting tonight as it was the night you got the Holy Ghost. I can't help it. I had a lay preacher in my church this past three or four weeks. Went out into sin and has just openly committed sins in front of a lot of the people in our church. And that affects your church. But I tell you something, that devil that has caused turmoil in our church is not going to stop me when it comes to praising God. I mean to tell you something, I'm not going to let anything like that drag me down to where I can't praise the God who picked me up when I was down. A lot of people, after they lived for God a while, they forgot that it's just as great to those new ones that's getting the Holy Ghost as it was to us when we got the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I forget that someone out there is just as hungry for the Holy Ghost tonight as I used to be a few years ago when I didn't have it. And they think it's the greatest, grandest, glorious thing that ever was, and it is. But sometimes in our Christian walk with God, we get drugged down fighting the devil. We get drugged down trying to live victorious. We try to live for God on our own. But sometimes it's good just to take us along. Say, hey, you pardon me tonight. I got to take a praise break. I got to tell God I still love Him. Hallelujah. Well, I got to close, but I'll tell you something.
Amen. I want to tell you something.
I'm not trying to be Anthony Maine, and he'll try to get a preach like me on the stage. You saw this at the campground for kids. But, well, this hope is there. But God, you know, here is Brother Danny, Brother Danny, and Brother Jeff Jesus.
Come on. How many is that? Four? Five? Hold that chair, three on each side.
I need one, Brother David. Come on up. Yes, sir. When David
went out to the ark, Brother Sammy, do a side straddle, son. You're facing the wrong way. There you go. Y'all all look that way. There you go. Now, Brother Johnny, you go on the other side. Man, look how those guys follow instructions. Now, hold on to it like this. There you go. There you go. They picked up that ark. That ark had the presence of God on it. Now, they were out of the practice. Can y'all see? They were hidden in the presence. See or not? Just listen. They were out of the practice of having a move of God in their midst. Because Israel had gone several years without the Spirit of God in their midst. The priest Eli had let the ark be stolen by the enemy, and it had been resting down at Abinadab's house. And then they tried to move it with the oxen and cart, and it rested at Obed-Edom's house. And they'd gone some years with the Ichabod walking around in their camp, signifying that the glory of God had departed. I tell you something, there are some churches that have gone so long without a move of God in their midst that they have forgotten what it's like to praise the Lord. Now, I'm not signifying this church is like that. I'm not necessarily signifying my church is like that. But I've seen at times when God wanted to move in a special way, and us, in our dignity, in our pride, and our problems, and our discouragement, we didn't let God have His way like we could have if we'd have just yielded to the Holy Ghost. And so when they brought the Spirit of God back to the church, or back to Zion, the Bible said they went six places. Just mark off six places there. One, two, three, four, five, six. And when they got six paces, the Bible says, that they took a praise break. Now it says that they stopped and they sacrificed constantly and the death and they did a sacrifice. And then it says that David shouted or danced before the Lord with all his might. And then it said, this is the part I like right here. And it says, and all of Israel shouted unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want y'all to set the ark down, and do nothing but praise the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah! They're having a little shalom right in the middle of all their troubles. They're having a little shalom right in the middle of their enemy. They learned how to take a praise break. Pick it back up, fellas. Yeah. This was one episode. This was one day. This was one problem. They had the Spirit of God on their shoulders. They were living for God. They were doing what God willed. The first time they went against God's will. And up to God. But this time they were doing the will of God. I'm not preaching to a bunch of sinners here tonight. I'm preaching to the saints of the Most High God. I'm preaching to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching to the people that have been to spread the word around in their own people. And it's just as good for you to take a praise break as it is for sinners to take a praise break. These were the men of the church here in your life. These were men of the church. These were men of science. But I tell you something, everybody needs a chance to do something. Let's praise the Lord. This way was one day. This way is another day. This way was one trial. When they walked that way, that was one trial. But they took a little breath. Had a little interlude. And that was all between two major events. I don't know what's going to face this church tomorrow.
I don't know what you're going to go through in the next week, a year or 2 years. I don't know. But I feel like on this week tonight when the choir singers, we come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. Those of us that have been carrying the Spirit of the Lord around ought to just lay our troubles down a little bit. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin. But it don't say weights and sins. It doesn't say lay down the weights and the sins. It doesn't call weights sin. It says weights and the sin. In other words, those weights, if you carry them around long enough, it could turn into sin. It could lead you to sin. But tonight you want to lay down every weight and do nothing but take a little praise break. Hallelujah. After they had marched 6 more spaces, they laid the ark down. Set it down, fellas. Hallelujah. Bring that thing up on the platform. The Bible says, are y'all ready to go home? Well, if y'all go on, I'm going to stay.
All right.
You ready to go home, brother? I'm going to preach a little bit.
All right, preach.
You know what I told my church? I told my church, I said, now, they've had joy. I've come to find out to teach a choir seminar. I said, but they called me to pop it all off.
Yeah.
So I'm putting the popping on it tonight. We've been practicing every night. I know why you're practicing. You need to learn some new songs.
Right.
You need to get some new inspiration.
Right.
You need some new up and some new this.
That's right.
I know. I know. Friend, I know. This time I sit on the platform and I say, what these things need is an old pastor. One that's crippled up and slow of speech. Got a little wisdom and some gray hair. I guess right here comes the day, Brother Howard's got some. And then I found out that the old preacher down the road said, well, I ought to be young and can jump around like a candy and get my shirt fired up.
Yeah.
So the young preacher said, and I said, man, I need to do something. I get some old preachers to come in here and preach. I didn't have Brother Rutledge come. I really wanted an old preacher. I wanted an old preacher, so I called him. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And the young preacher said, I need an old preacher. And the old preacher said, man, I need something new around here. Fire my folks up. I think I'll call a young preacher. And Brother Rutledge just called. Joy out here to teach us a new choir song because you're getting in a rut.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, man, I better close now.
Oh,
you're starting to get in a rut around here.
Uh-huh.
You're still a good church. You didn't carry the grace of God out of your heart.
That's good.
You didn't reach the Lord's job. You didn't praise some people through, but if you didn't get it right,
yeah.
I'm not going to get right down to the rut real quick. Or is that like a I'm not saying you're back, Clint. I'm just saying you're in a rut. You know what I heard one fellow say about a rut? He said the only difference between a rut and a grave is that a rut got both ends kicked out of it.
Yeah.
There ain't much difference between a rut and a grave, except the rut's got both ends out of it. And if you get in one of God's hidden graves, you sing the same old song, same old testifies, same old, same young song leader, same 200, page 41 at the cross, same amazing grace, same Tiffany Taylor's plan, same.
You're right.
No, I'm not. I pass through church. I know it's right. I get so tired of the rut. Sometimes I just change song leaders. I get people that can't sing.
Oh,
well, that's the majority of our church. They take after the pastor. When I used to look at the tape, they in the bucket. The other night I asked Mr. Handy, I said, how'd you like that new song you know got tonight? He said, he can't carry a tune in the bucket. I said, good. But I may call him other folks out there singing off key too, and that's something different.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, God just required a noise. He didn't require harmony. He just said, make it go for long.
Right.
Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. A lot of people stand around and say that worship and all that shouting and all that is foolish. And that we need to stay in our same old rut and our same old way and our same old. That's what Michelle said. She was sitting in the temple or in her palace when the men come carrying the ark of Zion into the church.
The Bible said all Israel was shouting, and myself said, we don't need that. We don't need this. We don't need that. We don't need this. Hey, David was tired of being in the same old room that they were in for years.
Praise God.
Every time Ichabod come walking down the road, I don't know how old he was, but the Bible says he was born the day the ark left Israel. And they said his name was Ichabod, the son of the Lord, the son of the party from Israel. I think every time he saw that last old fruit walking through camp, David got upset. He said, I'm tired of seeing that old pony. I'm tired of eating out of a garbage can. I'm tired of him begging off of it.
Break. They've been carrying the Spirit of God around, wanting to do something for God, and it's time to take a break.
Well, we've tried revival here before. We've had this preacher and that preacher and this preacher. We haven't done anything different. He's still in the same old rut. Hey, all we need to do is just take time out to praise the Lord. We'd give you a revival like you never can. You know what? When they set that chair down, I know that's just a chair. And I know that it's just us tonight. And I know that it's just we tonight. And I know some of you have been carrying a tremendous burden around in your heart. And you haven't praised God in years. You haven't praised God in months or weeks. Not that I'm a spiritual discerner. I just know people. There's some time I come sit down on the platform. I'm so mad I don't feel like preaching. Other times I'm so discouraged, I don't want to preach. But I say, I ain't going to let the devil get that kind of victory. And I just start praising the Lord. And when these fellas drop this chair this time, I think it'd be good for every one of us in this place on Wednesday night, and I'm closing. But I think it'd be good when they set that chair down, forget about all the people that still stand around and sneer and laugh and joke. And they call it how you done, how you worship, and how you pray. Forget about those kind of people. They don't want to go down either. I'm hungry for a little dollar. I think it'd be good if all of us would just take the time to have a little praise in our heart for God. Heard the Bible said all of Zion rejoiced when the ark came back to Jerusalem. And there was victory in that place. And I think if we'd have a little salon right here in the middle of our major meeting, if we take a little break right here between Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, if we take a little break between Sundays to do nothing but praise the Lord, I think we're going to have some victory in this place. Y'all ready? Say, now this is getting ridiculous, Brother Hanson Russell. Remember, you're just a homeboy. I don't care. Remember, you just married Joy. I don't care. God called me to preach. That's what I've done tonight, to preach. And this is spiritual. Go ahead, myself. Go ahead, do what you want to. It's even necessary. That's fine. I know you're going to say it. But I know how to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do this thing.
To praise Him and lift His holy name. Oh,
praise Him. We took to praise Him and lift His holy name. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise.
Let's all come down here. Let's all come down in the front. And let's do nothing but praise the Lord. Let's do nothing but praise the Lord. It's time to have a shalom. It's time to have a shalom. Take a praise break. Take a praise break. Take a praise break.